It's now time for the Weekly Word with Professor Stephen Hines, energy columnist and owner of the Word Merchant.
Well, it's time to put the booze down. Find us some solid ground. Clean this damn life up and turn it all around.
Time now for the Weekly Word. Professor Stephen Hines joins us this week and, joins us each and every week. And we're going to talk a little bit about some petrochemicals, a little bit of some job formation. But Oshkosh, Wisconsin, I think you've mentioned that a couple times. And I got to ask, do they still have those overalls there?
The company is there, I believe. But as far as all the manufacturing, it's gone. I think it's gone down to Mexico or something. Although there is one large industry that everybody's heard of, Oshkosh Truck. And that is, started as a family business, now does a lot of defense manufacturing of trucks and all vehicles, but also does fire engines and garbage trucks and a list of those things in the private sector. That is a very interesting company for any number of ways, including the fact you're going to love this. There's an old historic golf course in Oshkosh, which Oshkosh is right on the lake. Several of them, actually. And they're buying up the old golf course, Oshkosh Truck, and they're going to make it into a campus for the a couple buildings for the University of Wisconsin Oshkosh. But otherwise, it will be a campus for Oshkosh Truck.
Interesting.
And set on the water. It could be very interesting, actually. And it's publicly traded, just for your listeners. It's well worth taking a look at. As far as job formation, Jason, you're so much closer to what's happening up in the Bakken. So I'd ask you. So what's your sense of things right now as far as job formation for North Dakota and, I suppose, surrounding areas?
Well, job formation took an interesting turn over the last week, in my opinion. And on one hand, and we'll get to petrochemicals in just a moment, there was a report that the Bakken is natural gas is outproducing the oil. So petrochemicals is a very relevant topic. But getting to the job formation, I just sat down with Lynn Helms, director for the North Dakota Department of Mineral Resources, on Sunday, 2 days ago. And, one of the things I asked him, which is kind of interesting, I said, about 99.9999% of the Bakken hard information as far as rig counts and production numbers and all that stuff comes from Lynn Helms. And he said, yeah, actually, that's probably true. And I said, yeah, I don't think anyone else is really doing that. So he is kind of the number one guy in terms of expert of the numbers and the data when it comes to the Bakken, and so therefore he knows really kind of what's going on in a lot of different areas. Now, one of the things we did talk about in my interview with him was jobs, how these jobs are being created and these jobs are being filled, and they're kind of using the downturn to really make sure that the people are understanding that these jobs are permanent. So a lot of the old nomads, if you will, the wildcat nomads, those are kind of going the way of the television repairman, if you will. Not completely going away, but the numbers are shrinking. And what I mean by that is these jobs are being permanent. So, for example, there's some pockets in Texas or some pockets in North Dakota, or there's some pockets, in these shale plays that are a little bit remote, and some people are not used to that. But because we are now in a global economy, Jim Willis was on last week with the Marcellus Drilling News talking about an $84 billion investment that China is putting into West Virginia's energy industry. So what you're seeing is a global investment, a global economy, which means that if some of these guys, some of these gals do not want that job and out in the middle of nowhere for six figures a year, the nice man with a family from Ghana is going to take that job, relocate to the United States, and now live. That is the new age of oil and gas when it comes to the job formation and the job market. That we just had that conversation 2 days ago. This is the new reality in oil and gas. And as the downturn happens, the low oil prices, you're going to see these jobs that were somewhat viewed as temporary, you know, nomadic type jobs. Nope, they're being reinvented. They're now permanent jobs, and the cities are now preparing for these things. So what do you think of that, Steve? It's kind of a new shift in oil and gas jobs.
Well, you know, I've been following North Dakota for quite a while. Actually, I had friends from Rolland, North Dakota, back in the 70s, if you can believe that, and 80s. So I've been right up to the tip of North Dakota and Canada. But I have to say that North Dakota continues to sort of lead the world into a new world, I guess that's the way to put it, because they've gone through the wildcatting, they've gone through housing shortages, they've gone through employee shortages. I suppose the downturn allowed everybody to take a deep breath and catch up, but I think North Dakota has proven this isn't just a temporary thing where companies come in, exploit the assets, and then leave town in the middle of the night. This is a very permanent set of solutions for energy. But and thanks to the petrochemical side of the component and the fact that you are manufacturing more, is it oil? You're manufacturing more oil than natural gas these days, right?
Yes, the Bakken is now producing more natural gas than oil is, yes.
And but that really cracks open, you know, the petrochemical side of this discussion right now, Jason. The numbers I saw last year, the petrochemical industry invested more money than all other industries combined in the United States, which should give you an idea. Now, why are they doing it? One, surely to replace older petrochemical plants, but more importantly, to do things like the cracker that's being done near Pittsburgh, and that is a whole new science is going into petrochemicals, and they are also locating close to where the source of the oil and natural gas. And I think, of course, Davis is not really a petrochemical plant, I don't think, right? Much more of a refinery. But nonetheless, all of these, we're going to start seeing clusters of businesses around sources of energy, I think.
Well, you know, there is some change that's happening, and Lynn Helms kind of alluded to that in our discussion last week, because I was kind of getting of a year-end review and a 2018 outlook, and one of the things that we did talk about was the investment into infrastructure, whether to change it or put in either new infrastructure. And yeah, the crude was there with the Dakota Access Pipeline and, you know, the Keystone Pipeline. That got a lot of headlines. But there was a lot of work that was done on the natural gas side of things that is going to allow now some of these cracker plants to happen. Before, there just wasn't necessarily the infrastructure there to handle even a cracker type plant. But with the one in Pittsburgh, they've been talking about one in North Dakota now for about 5 years, whether it's Badlands NGL or North Dakota NGL. There was talk of one. It kind of resurfaces, and it all comes down to economics. And as soon as they get the infrastructure in place, which my understanding is the last 3 years have been quite a feast for those people who have been in the natural gas infrastructure business construction. So it's over the next several years, you're going to see these cracker type plants come on, which is going to completely change the petrochemical industry.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And all of that's happening below the radar screen, Jason, and almost nobody is talking about it. So part of our conversation a couple of weeks ago, when I started mentioning, you know, that third revenue stream for petrochemicals, feedstock, whatever you want to call it, nobody has, certainly not in the national media, but very few people have been talking about it. And I think it may be time for North Dakota the oil and natural gas industry to start not just doing it, thinking about building new construct new buildings, new operations up in North Dakota, they should also make a point of it. Even if they are sending it elsewhere, these petrochemicals aren't, like Jim was saying, that ethylene was just being, is a waste product. Now they're making it into important things along the lines of plastics and other things that sort of protect the sanity of the, or the sanitation of the world. And really, I'm really hoping that this whole new phase of more permanent development, you know, for example, when they talk about the Keystone Pipeline, you know, there's only going to be about 25 or 30 jobs, although I don't even know if that's true, permanent jobs. But the construction has, you know, an enormous impact and will have an impact. I think it's a mistake for people to think that just because the construction oftentimes employs more people than the people who stay on with the project, it is still an important part of what we do. Another reason why it's important that we have necessary natural gas and oil, we are doing a whole series of new power plants, and guess what? The old coal-burning power plants take twice or 10 times as many employees as the new natural gas. So it's like watching, I suppose, it's like watching very interesting paint dry, Jason. And when it does dry, I mean, the world's going to turn around, especially the United States, and say, whoa, where did this come from? But I think in that regard, I think part of what you and I have been trying to do is sort of start opening the educational process about what really is happening, not the sound bite they heard in the Washington Post or the New York Times or on CNN.
Well, and that brings up the paint drying. I was going to say it's either going to be red paint or blue paint. And you know me, I stay out of those politics because I like to look at the bigger picture. And the only way you can really look at the bigger picture and do these things that you're talking about, talk about these very important topics that really impact a lot of our lives, is to not introduce politics. So when I hear that the natural gas industry is really starting to emerge more and more because the technology now is capturing more, so it's economical, at the same time that a lot of these infrastructure projects are coming online, at the same time that a lot of these petrochemical cracker plants are probably going to get built over the next several years. We know one in Pittsburgh's on the way. There's one in the Bakken talked about all the time. And I know there's one down in the Southwest that gets talked about occasionally. But the reason that the Bakken is so sought after, like one of the reasons why ONEOK is so invested, and John Gibson, the former CEO and the chairman of the board, said, is that it's a wet gas. It's much different than Texas. Texas is a dry gas. You only have three of those different pentane, butane, ethane type of things. You start getting up into the Bakken, and you're in all these other, I know I said pentane, but you get into all these other pentane type of things to where there's 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, some case gases, which if you can separate them out, that's the feedstock you're talking about. That's what can be done with the petrochemicals. Now, layer in, and this is the part where the politicians need to understand how to lead. Just had a great conversation with Lynn Helms about reinventing leadership. He believes, just as John Hoeven does, leaders today need to reinvent themselves. The old way is over. It's a global economy. It's a technological industry. So as the media, we have to start talking about things differently, like the resurgence of petrochemical and the resurgence of people in Asia and India buying things with iPhones in their hands. If you open up 2 billion consumers across the United States, at the same time the petrochemical industry is getting a little bit of a surge, you're going to have a new market for those people who want to figure out new opportunities. That's where you get back to job formation. For the media, I see a responsibility to layer in some of these things so that the rich, smart capitalists, the really smart people, can figure out how to make those new jobs with the petrochemicals, the crude oil, and the other things that Honestly, the oil and gas industry is the only one adding jobs, so that's where I believe that the responsibility lies to the public to let people know how the oil and gas industry is creating these jobs. Okay, that was a soapbox and a really long-winded response. Your turn.
Good one. Good one. One thing I wanted to add to this, that the both on the petrochemical side and the liquid natural gas side, those are export stories, so, and those are environmental stories, because they are liquid natural gas is replacing, as we've talked before, charcoal and really dirty coal and cow dung, and also petrochemical is changing the way emerging companies are able to protect the health of their citizens through the use of plastics and sealed containers, and all of these things that are really taken for granted, except if you're in the poorer part of the world. So, yeah, to me, what you're doing in North Dakota, what they're doing in the Bakken, is as much an export story as anything it is. And its impact on the world and the impact on the environment has been sadly underestimated.
No, I couldn't agree more. I mean, we try to talk about it a lot, and a lot of times there's the media, they just like the what was the name of the ABC show? Blood and Oil. You know, the media believes that, you know, controversy sells, controversy creates cash, and that's the type of polarizing stuff you need in there. But when really the masses have to put their money where their mouth is, that's not what they choose time and time again. Media companies are not doing well. ESPN just laid off 150 people the other day. And a big reason is because they got into politics. And the Fox News and everything else, they got a revolving door going there nowadays. And I'll tell you what, those guys aren't making hardly any money. So what I'm saying is that kind of things what you and I are doing, you see what our downloads are. We're getting 10,000 some downloads a week on this little podcast thing that we're doing. So are you seeing that too, that people are tired of all the politics and they just want to know the facts and the information?
You know, I do. You know, let me just put it this way. The people who have already made up their mind and, you know, the sky is falling, I guess there's just no, there's no discussion there. So we have to just sort of, you know, that's a lost market to even try and introduce these ideas to. But I think Wall Street is very, very sensitive. Like I said, petrochemical investment last year in the United States was larger than any other industrial area. And that has, and they're making plans for the future. They're building plants, either replacing old plants or they're building new plants. And it is their job to sort of look into the future and start making products that more and more and more and more and more people will use, and at the same time act environmentally responsibly. And I think that's really what's going on here, Jason. It's not very sexy, I think, although it should be. You know, I think the work you guys are doing in North Dakota, you know, to me, you're in a certain way, you're the Marilyn Monroe of you know, the new energy world.
For more information on Professor Stephen Hines, the word merchant, visit our website, thecrudelife.com, for his contact information. That's our website, thecrudelife.com, for links to Professor Stephen Hines' contact information. And that was Professor Stephen Hines with The Weekly Word. The music on today's program is written and performed by the Moody River Band. To find out more about the Moody River Band or their music, visit our website, thecrudelife.com, and click on the Musician tab. That's thecrudelife.com, and click on the Musicians tab.
Now we're gonna have no trouble with the treble. There's no breaks in the bass. It's just you and me, baby, singing it like we did in the good old days. Singing it like they did in the good old days, because we're back to the way. Oh, where do you build the bridge? And I'll hammer on the harmony. tuning in, modifying melody. We were ready to rhyme and rhythm, caught each note in every measure. Together we will make a rich living, phrasing and composing. Back to the way. Oh, oh.